Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Corgi Confident. This is going to be a new segment that I call Friday Fun Day, where we just talk about some fun stuff. And what motivated this? Well, I just came home from agility. I feel super amped up right now. So I said, I want to record a podcast, as people do, right? No, just me. Anyways, so this is going to be Friday Fun Day. So we don't really talk about anything too serious. We just talk about some fun stuff that pertains to corgis. You know, we're going to leave the training, the desensitizing, all that quote-unquote serious stuff for a different day. This is going to be a fun day. And so for today, I am going to start off a series that I call Corgis in Sports. So we're going to highlight different dog sports that corgis can participate in and just talk a little bit more about them. Full disclosure, I am still learning about a lot of these things myself, but I have been doing them for a couple years, and I am just starting to trial in a lot of these sports, and I have done a lot of research on them. So I would not consider myself an expert, but I do have a lot of experience in a lot of these things. So just a heads up as far as that goes. And so for today's sport, again, like I said, I just came home from agility. So for today's sport, we're going to talk about agility. Because Maslow did so well today, and I will cover that in one of our Maslow Monday episodes, so don't worry about that. I'm not going to speak too much on that, but basically, Maslow did really well today, so I was like, I feel like talking about agility. And so, what exactly is agility? I think it's the sport that everyone thinks of when they're like, I want my dog to do a dog sport. Hey, I'm going to look into agility. It's the most popular dog sport out there, I really think, that like most people know about. Although technically dog shows are also a dog sport, so conformation, you know, like you see the dog shows on TV where they're like showing the best of breed and all that. That is technically a dog sport, and I would say a lot of people know what that is as well. But when people think dog sports, they think agility. That's where their mind goes every time. Whenever I talk to someone, they're like, yeah, I want to get my dog into sports. It's always agility. Agility, 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 which is not a bad thing, but there are a lot of dog sports out there, and I do encourage everyone to research the other sports that exist, because as much as I love agility, there's a couple sports I actually like a lot more than agility, but we will go into that in the later episode as these continue, and as I continue talking about dog sports, we'll touch on that later. But today we're going to talk about agility, and I thought it would be a good subject to start my Corgis in Sports and my Friday Fun Day series, because everyone loves agility. So I don't think I really need to explain what exactly it is, but I will. What exactly is agility? You're going to have a series of obstacles, a multiple series of obstacles, and you run through and you try to finish as fast as you can. That's basically what it is. That's what agility is. So what are the obstacles? Now, this may vary depending on the organization that you trial through. There are multiple agility organizations that you can earn titles through. Everyone thinks of AKC as the, you know, almighty powerhouse of dog titles, but there are a lot of other organizations that offer titling for dog sports, for tricks, for anything you can think of. There's a lot of other organizations. And so while I think AKC is still a good one, there are other just as reputable organizations that you can look through. So depending on where you go, some of these obstacles are not a thing. There's one that I have in mind in particular that is not a thing in all agility organizations. There we go. That's the word. That was hard to think of for some reason. So what are the obstacles? You have the jump. Everyone knows what the jump is. I'm not really going to explain that. You have the tunnel. Again, everyone knows what a tunnel is. I don't really want to explain that. I will explain that you will have sometimes a straight tunnel, and sometimes you will have a curved tunnel, and then sometimes you can also have a U-shaped tunnel. So there's all sorts of different kinds of shapes you can do with the tunnel, but everyone knows what a tunnel is. And then the next obstacle is an A-frame. And it's exactly how it sounds. It's a board that's shaped like an A, and they go up to the top of the A and then down. And there is a certain, it's colored yellow. So if you're watching agility, the area towards the bottom is colored yellow. And basically, they have to get, I believe, all four paws in that yellow area in order to be considered like a complete obstacle. So if they jump off before that yellow or with not all their paws in the yellow, then they technically did not complete that obstacle. And if they are trialing, you're going to have to go back and do it again. So when you're watching agility videos, maybe if you're a person like me who's just like, I'm going to look up some agility videos, that's what that is. That's what that yellow area is for. And then you have the dog walk, which is harder for me to explain, but you have a slanted area up, and then they go straight for a while, and then a slanted area down. I think of it like a bridge. And again, for the dog walk, you are going to have that yellow area, like I mentioned for the A-frame, where they have to get all their paws in there. And if they don't, then it is not considered a complete obstacle. And that's just for on the way down. And then you have the teeter, so the teeter totter. Everyone knows what a teeter totter is, right? We all had childhoods where they have to go up, and then again, they have to get all the paws in the yellow for it to be complete, and the teeter will go down. And ideally, you want to wait for the teeter to go all the way down. That is also considered a complete obstacle for the teeter to go all the way down to the bottom. That's how you know it's complete. So those three things, the A-frame, the dog walk, and the teeter, has a yellow portion at the end of where they'd like get off at, where they know the judges know they have to be in this area with those four paws. And so fun fact, you can now in AKC and other organizations, but AKC recently released that you can have colored dogs, so dog safe dye on your dogs. For AKC, it's 30% of their body or something like that can be colored, though the feet cannot be yellow. For AKC, the feet are not allowed to be dyed yellow, and that's just to make for easier judging so they can see if those paws land in the yellow portion of the A-frame, the dog walk, or the teeter. So the next obstacle after that are the weave poles, which is usually a set of 12. I believe in some novice runs they're a set of 6, but more likely than not, if you're watching videos, you're going to see the ones that are 12 weave poles. And again, you know what those are. They're 12 poles in the ground, and they weave in and out as fast as they can. So that's a little description of some of the obstacles. Again, I am not an expert, so that is the best description I have for you guys. And so we're going to go into another common question is, should my dog do agility? Should my dog do agility? And my short answer is, if you want to do it, do it. But I'm going to be talking about what it takes to do agility. And I think a lot of the times when I talk to people and they're like, yeah, I want to get my dog involved in agility. I think they'd really like agility. And they're like, yeah, I think they're going to like agility because they like to run a lot and they like to jump a lot. Like, that's people's most common thoughts of why they want to get into agility is because my dog likes to run and jump. They like to run and jump, run and jump. Which is fine, which is good. Like, that's not a bad thing. In agility, you do have to be fast, so you're not wrong. If they like to run, awesome. If they like to be active, awesome. Yeah, it is a very active sport. But what a lot of people don't realize is it actually involves a lot, a lot, a lot. I cannot stress this out enough. It involves a lot of obedience. And I think that's something that people don't think about when they're like, I want to get into agility. They focus on the fact that their dog likes to run and jump. But it involves so much obedience. So much obedience. Because if you think about it, your dog has to be able to listen to you while also running as fast as it can, like X amount of feet away from you. Like, that is not an easy thing. That is not just something dogs just instantly like know off the top of their heads. That is a trained behavior. So it involves a lot of agility. If your dog doesn't have off-leash skills, you gotta train off-leash skills. And let me tell you, it takes a lot of training. A lot. Agility is a commitment. It is a training commitment. Compared to other sports that are more instinctual, agility is going to involve a lot of training. You have to train every single little tiny move. So it's not just about your dog being able to jump over the bar, right? I'm going to use jumping as an example to just to let you know how much training actually goes into agility. When you think of a jump, it's just a bar, right? You have the bar there, they jump over the bar, like that's what you think of an agility jump, right? So most people think of it as you set the dog up on one side of the bar, you're on the other side, and you call them over and they jump over the bar. And that's not exactly wrong. That is one of the behaviors. That's the easiest behavior, but that's one of the behaviors. You can also have a jump wrap where you are sending them in front of you. So you're on the same side of the jump as your dog, and you are sending them to the jump, and you send them over, and they have to wrap as tight as they can around one of the wings, one of the edges, like one of the bars holding up the middle bar that they jump over, commonly is going to be called a wing. So you have to send them in front of you to jump. They have to wrap around the ring and come back to you. Now that takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of training with commitment, committing to that obstacle. And it takes a lot of training with independence, right? They have to have that independent thought to go jump over, right? Because you are sending them forward. That is hard for a lot of dogs. Sending them to do something ahead of you can be very difficult. It's a lot easier to call a dog to you to do something. It's a lot more difficult to send a dog away to do something, right? So you can have that jump wrap, essentially, is what it's called. So that's one behavior. You can also have it be where you're more at an angle, right? So they're not just square perfectly in the center of that jump, ready to take it right there. Sometimes you have to do it, set them up where they're more at an angle so that the next obstacle, they can take it much easier. So you're kind of setting up a nice path for them. So that is just three behaviors there with the jump. You can also do it where they're running with you, and you can do a cross. I can explain what crosses are in a second, but basically you can do a cross. And so you're running with them. Let's say you're running towards the jump with them on your left, and for the obstacle after the jump, you need them on your right. So you would do a cross is what it's called. So you are sending them starting on your left and switching them to their right, and then sending them over that jump on your right now, right? So that is a fourth behavior. You can even do it the opposite way, where they're on your right, you do a cross so that they get on your left, and then you send them over that jump. That is another behavior. Keep in mind, this is just, like, I just named five behaviors for one obstacle. Now, I want you to think of that with all the obstacles, all of them. And then you're running a whole course with it. Obviously not right off the bat, like you train up to that, but that is what agility is. And it's a lot of teaching your dog the different commands. And I will tell you one thing, Maslow has learned it pretty well, but when he messes up, it's 99% of the time it's because of me, because I am sending him weird, because I'm sending him a weird way, because my, you know, command was late. 99% of the time, if he messes up, it's because of me. So there's a lot of handler control as well. And so speaking of those crosses, like I mentioned earlier, and since I'm on the subject of handler control, I'm going to touch on that a little bit. So you have your front cross, which is where you are looking at the dog. You have your right hand stretched out to them saying, this is where you are. You put your left hand out, switch it to your left, and then they're on your left. That's not going to make a lot of sense, and I realize that. But basically, a front cross is where you look at your dog and you are switching sides. If you want me to go into more detail, feel free to email the show and I can go into more detail about it. But right now, I'm just going to get the concept across. So basically, a front cross is where you are looking at your dog, you are making eye contact with your dog, and essentially saying, you are on my right, now I want you on my left. So that is a front cross. Then you have a blind cross where you are not looking at your dog and you are just hoping that they figure out your message, not looking at your dog, back to your dog essentially. And you are hoping that they figure out the message that you are on my right, now you're on my left. So it's a lot of like, you are not looking at your dog, your right hand is out, and you're like, you're on your right. And then your left hand comes out and basically you're like, and now you are right here. So that is a blind cross. I struggle with those all the time. The footwork for it like constantly messes me up. I can't do it. I'm still working on it. Again, like I said, 99% of the time when Maslow messes up, it's my fault. So other concepts in agility that have to be trained, commitment. So like I had mentioned with the jump, sending them forward and knowing they are going to commit to that jump, commit to that obstacle, being able to send them out in front of you. That is very hard for dogs to do. I don't care how independent your dog is or how snuggly it is to you or how attached it is to you. Dogs want to stay by their humans. So not only is it difficult for the dog, you are also trusting the dog to go take that obstacle and hopefully come back. And that come back part is the part that I'm still struggling with Maslow. That come back part is the part that we are still training. His commitment is not a problem. His coming back is the problem. He is great with independence, a point that I will make in a second. He is not great on dependence. He is like, I can do this all the time. I can do this great. I know what I want to do. He's got to work on listening. He's got to work on being dependent on my command, right? So again, with commitment comes independence, being able to work without you next to them. When you say weave, they've got to have the commitment to go to the weaves and then the independence to do them correctly, right? When you send them to the A-frame, they've got to have the commitment to go to the A-frame and the independence to find it and go on there and do what you say. And then I'm going to bring up dependence. Like I had mentioned, are they dependent enough on you to listen to you? So they have to have this weird combination of being independent and being okay with being away from you, but still listening to you. So that's a lot of distance work from very far away and very, very fast-paced environment. Like, that is hard. So that's a little bit of should my dog do agility? This all the stuff that goes into agility that you may not have thought about. Now I'm going to specifically touch on corgis specifically in agility. And I think corgis are great agility dogs. There's a lot of Pembroke Welsh corgis in agility. I think they can be fantastic agility dogs, and here's why. They are extremely intelligent dogs. I've mentioned it before, they're the 11th smartest breed, right? So they are intelligent. They are fast learning. They are a smart, smart dog. They're a herding breed, so obviously they're active, right? Which is when you want a dog to do agility, you want him to do it as fast as possible. And corgis can be fast. If you've never seen, like, corgi races, like, people laugh at him, but dang, like, corgis are fast. Like, don't let those little legs fool you. Like, they were bred to run. So they are great for agility in that sense. They can be loyal to you. Again, if you think about it, they are a herding breed. So if you think about herding, you got to be able to send the dog out to go get the sheep, and then you got to tell them, bring the sheep back. Well, they bred cattle, so I'm sorry. My brain instantly went to our herding lessons. But you got to be able to send them out to go get this livestock, and then they've got to listen to you when you say right or left, or bring them this way, bring them that way. Bring them into the pen. So if you think about it in that sense, that's very much equivalent to a behavior you may need in agility. A lot of that sending away from you, but still listening to you, right? It's not the same thing, obviously, as fetching cattle or sheep, but you are sending your dog away from you to do an independent job, and then to also come back to you and be able to listen to you. Right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but that just sounds like agility to me, right? Like I just said, they're independent. They are independent. So they are fine being away from you. I'm sorry, corgi owners, but your corgis are just fine without you. One downside that I find with them is that they are stubborn. And this stubbornness in agility, this has been our biggest thing that we've been working on with Maslow. It's been his biggest flaw. It will always be his biggest flaw in every sport, is his stubbornness, right? And his intelligence, really, if I'm being honest. But his stubbornness. He wants to do things his way. For example, he loves tunnels, so sometimes he'll just take a tunnel. That's him being stubborn. I did not tell him to take the tunnel. He was just deciding he wanted to do it on his own. So they're stubborn dogs. And it's just something to be aware of. And my biggest tip for that is just out-stubborn the dog. Honestly, that's my biggest tip. Just be more stubborn than your dog. That's how we've gotten this far, is I'm like, no, you want to be stubborn? No, I'll show you stubborn. I will show you stubborn like you have never seen. And then he usually comes back with the same thing, and it's a little bit of a back and forth. But we figure it out. We come to terms with it. So I'd say if you're going into agility, their stubborn attitudes is probably going to be something that you'll have to work on overcoming for sure. Things to be cautious of with corgis, like when you're doing this agility sport. Obviously, they have long backs. Everybody knows this. They have tiny legs. Everybody knows this. This is not news to anyone. If you don't know what the corgi breed is, then I don't know why you're listening to this podcast. If you don't know what they look like, I don't know. I don't know why you're listening to this podcast specifically about corgis, but if you don't know what the breed is, email the show and let's talk about it. But anyways, something to be cautious of with corgis is jumping, right? Jumping. And everyone who has a corgi or is thinking about a corgi, that's just in general something to be cautious of, is jumping, because you don't want them to injure their backs. They have tiny little legs. You don't want them to injure their legs. So really be conscious of excess jumping. Now, I wouldn't worry about the jumping obstacle necessarily. Like that's not really what I'm talking about. That's based off of, depending on the organization, the height of it is either based off the breed or it's based off the height at the withers, shoulder blades of the dog. So I wouldn't worry about that necessarily, because every organization is going to make sure it's at an adequate height and an appropriate, safe height for your dog. So that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about jumping off of obstacles. So like when I was describing the obstacles earlier about how there's that yellow portion at the bottom that they have to make sure they hit. And that yellow portion mainly is there for their, it's for their safety, right? They want to make sure the dogs go all the way down to the bottom for their safety so they don't hurt themselves. And so there are some dogs that just take off. They run and then they like are just having so much fun. They just want to launch themselves off of those obstacles because that's so much more fun than going all the way down. So that is something to think about and to work on. And if you're working with a good trainer, then it's not going to be a problem necessarily for you. Though I will say having your corgi at a good healthy weight is going to help you deter a lot of those injuries in general. So if your corgi is at a good healthy weight, it will help deter some of those injuries. Maslow has taken some pretty big jumps in training for agility, and he is fine, knock on wood, but he is also an extremely fit little boy at only 22 pounds, and I guarantee you a majority of that is muscle. So he is a petite little boy who has a lot of muscle and can handle, I don't want to say he can handle jumps like that, like they still worry me, but because he's in good shape, I feel better about him doing that. I don't know how to explain it. Obviously, I deter him from doing it anyways, but I know he's fit. I know he's healthy. So odds are in his favor, essentially. If he were to take a huge jump, odds are in his favor. The next thing I want to talk about is competition agility versus agility for fun. So a lot of what I just talked about is stuff to think about for competition agility. And just to put it in perspective, we've been doing agility, Maslow and I, for about 2 years, and he is still in novice foundation work. We are nowhere near ready to trial. So something else to think about if you're wanting to do competition agility is it is a commitment. It takes a long time to train. If you're wanting to do competition agility and you're wanting to trial, there's the expense part of it, because you most likely have to travel. You're going to have to travel to trials. And depending on your state, there might not be a lot of trialing options in your state. It really depends. Either way, like for me, there is a location that holds trials close, like 20 minutes. And then there's other locations that I would have to drive like 2 hours or more. Still within state or close by. So that's something to think about. That can be expensive. You got your hotel costs because trials start early in the morning. Dog sports are early morning. So you either have to wake up early, or if you're trialing multiple days, usually trials are like a Friday through Sunday type thing, 3-day weekend. So you got to think about that. The expensive hotel rooms, especially finding a hotel or Airbnb or VRBO that allows dogs, that can get pricey. In general, the price for just even entering a trial can get pricey. I think it varies per area, so it can be pricey over time to enter a trial. And then if you have to take time off work, obviously something else to think about. And then there's all the training that goes into it. Again, we have been doing this for almost 2 years, and our courses previously were 6 weeks. Now they're by the month because I switched locations. And they can be like $100 plus for 6 weeks or a month. Like, so that's something to think about. And you don't really necessarily want to take a break from training. Like, you can take small breaks, but in general, the more consistent you are, the better. So it is a pricey sport. And that's always something to think about when you start a dog sport, is that it can be pricey. Now, agility for fun. All of agility is for fun, right? Like, I do agility with Maslow because he thinks it's fun. I think it's fun. You do agility to have fun. You do a dog sport to have fun. If you're going into it just to win and nothing else, then I don't think you're going into it for the right reasons. And I'm sorry if that's a hot take, but yes, obviously I want to get the big medals and I want to get the letters after Maslow's name, but the titles are for me, right? Like, the titles are for people. The dogs don't know what the ribbons mean. The titles are for the people. So as long as he's having fun and enjoying the sport, then I'm going to continue. And if he's not having fun, then I'm going to work on trying to make it fun for him. Agility is for fun. I want your dogs to have fun. You should want your dogs to have fun. It's all for fun. But basically where I was going with that is it's not always about competition. You can have a place. You can just go somewhere and you just want to do some little jumps and some tunnels and some A-frames. And you just want to do it for fun. You just want to do it because your dog likes to run around. And that's fine. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not fine. You don't have to go into this because you want to compete. Like, no, get out of here. You go into it because you want to have fun. And if you're the kind of person that wants to compete, then good on you. If you're the kind of person that doesn't want to compete, good on you. Like, do what's best for you and your dog. But no matter what, you should be doing agility because you want your dog to have fun. And again, I'm sorry if that's a hot take. All right, and on to my next hot take, which I know is going to be a hot take. When to start training agility. Now, a lot of people are under the impression that they should start training agility when the dog is 1 year old because they're old enough, they've stopped growing, or they've done a majority of their growing, blah, blah, blah. Your vet said this, your vet said that. Okay, hot take. Here comes your hot take. When to start training. As soon as you can. I'm sorry, I said it. As soon as you can. When should you train? As soon as you can. Oh, but I need to wait a year because they're not done growing. No, as soon as you can. Okay, let that sink in. Change your brain chemistry a little bit there. As soon as you can. I'm going to stress that. I started when Maslow was either a year, year and a half, something like that. I wish I started sooner. I wish I started so much sooner. And yes, he did a lot of things at home. And I'll go into things that you can do at home that are going to help you into agility. But you should start as soon as you can. Like I had mentioned all the way above in that little section of should my dog do agility, there is so much more to agility than jumping and running and tunnels, right? I mentioned all the obedient stuff. I mentioned the commitment, the independence, the dependence. There is so much stuff. Plus, if you are going to a good trainer, you are not going to be jumping. They are not going to have that dog jumping. I can guarantee you that. They are not going to have that dog jump anything. If they do, like, air quote, jump, that bar is on the floor. They're walking over it. They're not jumping at all. They're just, like, setting up that jumping obstacle as if it were a thing just to get them used to, like, what it might be. And there are so many other obstacles that you can work on that have nothing to do with jumping, right? Nothing to do. You can work on your wraps I had mentioned a little bit of like the jump wrap before. You know, they'll more likely than not, they'll have you work on wrapping around a cone. You can work on that. That is a big thing. All those obedience things, that is a big thing that you can work on. And there's so many other things. Tunneling, you don't have to be a certain age to safely go through a tunnel. You know, you can have your dog walk through a tunnel. And handling, off-leash skills. You'll work on that in a lot of foundation agility as well. You know, there's so many things you can do for foundation work and agility that are not going to harm your puppy. They're not. And if I'm going to stress it again, if you are going to the right trainer, make sure you're sure you are going to a good trainer. Start your puppy in agility as soon as you can. If you think agility is going to be a goal for you, start ASAP. Obviously, once the puppy is completely vaccinated, I'm not saying take your 8-week-old puppy to an agility class, but start them young. It's okay. You will be okay. If you are concerned, email the place you're going to, talk to the trainer, advocate for your dog, and say, I just want to do this safely. We will be doing absolutely no jumping or any unstable objects or anything like that. Not even a pretend jump of any kind, blah, blah, blah. You will be fine to start early, and I highly encourage you to start early. All right, that is going to be the end of this Friday Funday. And that is my little introduction to agility for you. Next week for Friday Funday, we are going to talk about things you can work on at home if you still don't feel comfortable taking your dog early to agility. We are going to talk about things that you can work on at home to set your dog up for success for agility. Maslow and I worked a lot on tricks before we got into agility, and let me tell you, there's a lot of things we did that, although we didn't start him in agility younger, I have noticed doing some of those things with him has helped his agility training now 2 years later. So we'll talk about that next week. Again, I highly encourage you guys to email the show if you have any questions about agility or dog sports in general, and you didn't hear it here, please email me and I'd be happy to go over it. All right. So have a happy Friday. Go have fun. Yay to the weekend. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more Corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen signing off.